Amen. Thank you for that song. Please open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you have a Bible, be sure to use it today. And it's good practice to use your Bible, knowing where things are. Not being spoiled too much by the screen. The guys in the booth do a great job of keeping up, but we want to use our Bibles too. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to pick up where we left off last week, so that'll put us starting at verse 8 this morning, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. And before we read the scriptures together, let's pray together, and we'll get into the word today. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the blessing and the freedom we have to come together to worship you. And Lord, please help us to take full advantage of the freedoms that we have in this nation to go and to do the work that you've called us to do. Please bless the Christians in other places where it is difficult, where it is illegal, where it is dangerous to be a Christian. Please bless them and give them grace and strength to continue in the work. And Lord, I pray that you would bring a revival to this nation, that you would turn our hearts back to you, that you would forgive our sin and heal our land. Lord, help us. Lord, we know judgment begins in your house, and I pray that it would begin in our hearts today, that it would begin in our lives. Lord, we know that you've made us the temple of God by indwelling us with your Spirit through faith in Jesus. And I pray that judgment would begin in our hearts today, and that you would work in us. Help us to be quick to repent and confess. And Lord, anything that's standing between us in a close fellowship with you today, I pray that you would remove it. Help us to be close to you. Please bless the word today. Help me to preach your word by the power of your Spirit. I pray that you would teach us, that you would guide us, and that you would just help us to grow in your grace and knowledge today, to know you and to be equipped to make you known. And Lord, please help. I pray your Spirit would convict hearts, that we would make the decisions that you're calling us to today, that wherever we are in our walk with you, by your grace and by the power of your Spirit, we'd take the next step today, whatever it is. Please help and bless, for we're nothing without you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4, look at verse 8. He says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you." Last time we saw the challenge, do not faint, and that's really what we're talking about here. This chapter is kind of bookended with that thought. Do not faint, do not lose heart. Don't lose heart, don't turn to the bad or to the weak or fail in your heart, but keep living for Jesus. And we talked about the command to preach Jesus Christ. We have the treasure of the gospel in these earthen vessels. Our carnal, fleshly bodies, God has chosen to put his Spirit in us. He's chosen to give us the knowledge of the gospel. He's shed his love abroad in our hearts today. And so as weak as we are, as unworthy as we are, God's chosen to put the gospel in us, to carry the gospel to the world. And what a privilege we have to speak the word of God. And so that's what we're challenged to do. And in the middle of that challenge, preaching Jesus, he talks about making the life of Jesus manifest, or making the life of Jesus, the life that's in Jesus, making it apparent in other people's lives. Now, the apostle and the other missionaries, they did this by carrying or having in their body the dying of Jesus, by being continually delivered to death for Jesus' sake. He says, though we are troubled, though we go through all this persecution and tribulation, it's in our trouble that the life of Jesus is made manifest. It's in our dying that Jesus is glorified and magnified. And isn't that what the Lord taught his disciples in the beginning? If you want to save your life, what do you have to do? Lose it. You have to lose your life. If you would lose your life, then you'll save it. And God always gives us that paradigm that's completely upside down to what we think about in the world. And you don't get higher by climbing a ladder. You get higher by stooping lower. And you don't get more by trying to take. You get more by giving up. And so what we want to do with our lives is make Jesus glorified in this world. We want to make Jesus famous in the world today. We want people to know the real Jesus. Listen, Jesus, in his day, his fame was spread abroad everywhere. Why? Because the people who met Jesus, the people who experienced the power of Jesus, made him famous. Everybody got that? Listen, people who met Jesus, they were saved, they were healed, they experienced the knowing of Jesus, they made him famous. They went everywhere and told everyone. And so the fame of him spread abroad. We ought to have a desire to make Jesus famous. And listen, today a lot of people know about a Jesus, but they don't know the Jesus. So we want to make Jesus known. Now, they did this in a way that we don't like. They went through all kinds of trouble. Look at what he says. We are troubled on every side. We are perplexed, persecuted, cast down, always bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Listen, I don't know if you're paying attention this morning, but that's all negative stuff. These are, in the Greek, these are very intensified words. Like if you were texting it, you might put it in all caps with a bunch of exclamation points. Some of you are really skilled at using emojis. And you'd have all kinds of emojis to go with it to show that this is real serious. And we don't get that all the time in the English, but in the Greek it's there. These are intensified words. When he says we are troubled on every side, this is that idea of tribulation. This is that idea of being really pressed down. Like they were under all kinds of pressure. He said we are perplexed. It carries on. This perplexed and despair go together. He says we are perplexed. We are in a place that would make us despair, a place that would make us without hope, but not completely without hope. We're persecuted. We are attacked. We are left, it seems, alone. He says we're cast down. We're literally thrown to the ground. And all of these are intense words. And notice what he says. We're troubled, but not distressed. What's that mean? We're under enormous pressure, but we're not completely crushed, is what he's saying. He says we're perplexed. We are in a place of despair, but we are not completely hopeless, completely in despair. He says we're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. He said we're enduring so much, but God has not left us alone. He says we're cast down, we're thrown to the ground, literally thrown down. But we are not destroyed. We've alluded to this a couple of times already, but just turn a few pages in your Bible to 2 Corinthians 11. And find verse 23. We're going to get to this. We'll study it more in depth, but just listen to this. Are they ministers of Christ, these people who are attacking Paul? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice, 3 times was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice, 3 times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils in waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Listen, if you just read the list, friends, the apostle endured more than most men would survive. Five times, 40 stripes save one. That means he was scourged with the whip. Five different times. A lot of people died if they were scourged one time. So he endured these things, but God sustained him. He was beaten with rods. They would take like a cane rod and they would beat them in the same way that they would whip them with the scourge, with the whip. I mean, all of the things that he endured, not only enemies of God and enemies of the gospel, but people that were supposed to be brothers were against him. I mean, he endured all kinds of trouble. So when you go back here to our text and you read that they were troubled and they were perplexed and they were persecuted and they were cast down, you get a picture of what he's talking about. They endured so much. And they were in deaths often. What does that mean? Their lives were literally in peril all the time. When he talks about watching, what was that? I mean, he had to stay up all night because they were people coming to kill them. And so we endured all that, he says, so that we, in our dying, in our bearing the death of Jesus, in our suffering for his name's sake, in our suffering in the same way Jesus did, in our enduring the enemies of God and the gospel, you would know the life of Jesus. I just need you to understand what's going on, to understand how difficult it was for them, to understand what they endured, to allow themselves to be near death and to face death and die the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus would be made manifest. Why is that important? Number one, we ought to appreciate the fact that they did that. We have the gospel today because of what they endured. And not just them. We can read about the saints martyred for the faith throughout history, things that people endured, atrocities that we can't even begin to comprehend. And they did it for the gospel's sake, so that we would know the life of Jesus today. I want you to understand what they endured, but listen, if they endured that to make the life that's found in Jesus manifest, how much more should we, when we have it so easy today? We're live streaming this. We preach Jesus and we broadcast it to the world, and nobody's kicking in the door with machine guns today. They have not come to my house and arrested me in front of my children like pastors in Canada have been arrested for preaching the gospel. That hasn't happened yet. Number one, they probably couldn't find my house, but we ought to preach Christ. We ought to make the life in Christ manifest to the world. And we have more blessing and more opportunity today than any nation in the world has ever seen. You realize when they were preaching, they had the Romans who were in control, who were against them. They were taking the gospel to the Jews first, and the Jews were against them. Like, everyone was against them. And today, here in America, we have it so good, so easy. We have easy times. You guys have heard the saying, people have been saying for a while now, that strong men make good times. Strong men make good times, but good times make weak men. And weak men make bad times. You guys heard that? I think we've seen that in our nation. I think our nation was founded by strong men. I think our nation was kept good by strong men. And I think because of the good times that those strong men, they endured hard times, they brought about strength, they brought about good times, but we've enjoyed the good times to the point that we have become weak. And our weakness will create bad times. You understand, I'm talking about our nation today, I'm talking about our country, but also spiritually in the churches, I think it's true too. Hard times made strong men, and strong men made good times, and good times are making weak people. And we have opportunity like never before. What are we doing with our opportunity? What are we afraid of? What trouble, what persecution are you going to face because you talk about Jesus today? Somebody might laugh at you. Hey, let me tell you something. Somebody's going to laugh at you no matter what anyway. If you're going to be made fun of, at least be made fun of for Jesus. I'm talking to my kids right now. Sometimes kids have a hard time being made fun of or somebody laughing at them. You guys know what I'm talking about? You know, they get laughed at and they get all upset about it. I'm like, you'll get used to it. Amen. Listen, if you're going to be my kid, you better get used to being laughed at, because you've inherited some things that are inherently going to be mocked. It's just the way it is. We got to make the life of Jesus apparent. These disciples, these saints, these missionaries, these apostles and others made the life of Jesus apparent, and they did it by dying. They were troubled, but not distressed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. So that they can make Christ manifest. So, make the life of Jesus apparent in your life. What does that mean? It means walking with Him day by day. It means that you're a man or a woman, or a boy or a girl who walks your life with Jesus. You do that through prayer. You do that through Bible study. You do that through being a faithful witness. Listen, it's not complicated, friends. It's very simple. And it's something all of us can do. So make His life apparent through your life by dying to yourself, by laying aside your wants and wishes and the desires of your flesh. Live out your Christian life in the power of the Spirit. Next, look at verse 13 in our text, 2 Corinthians 4:13. If you believe, speak up. If you believe, speak up. Verse 13, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. We have the same spirit of faith. Psalm 116 is where he's quoting from. He says, I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. And even the psalmist dealt with affliction, but because he believed, he still spoke up. And so where are we at today? Well, if I speak up, I might be persecuted. If I speak up, I might be mocked. If I speak up, I might be made fun of. If I speak up, then I might lose some friends. But listen, you're going to have affliction, but if you believe, you must speak. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And what I'm trying to say is, if you really know Jesus today, you can't be quiet about Jesus. Do you remember where you were headed without Christ? Do you remember where you were without Him? Do you remember what it was like to be without God and without hope and bound by sin forever, damned and headed to hell? Do you remember where you were without Christ? Well, let me give some of you a second to think about it, because you would do well to remember who you are without Him. You would do well to remember the darkness and the deadness, so that you might rejoice that you've been brought into His marvelous light. That you would rejoice that you're not dead in your trespasses and sins, but you're alive unto God through faith in Jesus Christ today. You're not dead, you're alive. And yeah, there might be some affliction, there might be some persecution, there might be some trouble, but if you believe, how can you be silent? Why? Because if you believe, then you have life. If you believe, you have hope. If you believe, you have peace with God. If you believe, your eternity is secure. I'm going to live forever. I am alive forever. I will not come into condemnation. I have been passed from death to life. It's already done. Listen, I get it. Some of you guys are real tired. Some of you are stressed. Some of you may be worried or sad. Some of you are just distracted. But I just want you to stop and remember who Jesus is today and what He's done for you. Because I'm not just saying words to the walls today. I'm talking to people. People who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm talking to you. If you have faith in Jesus, you are alive. If you believe. And if you believe, you have to speak up. We have the same spirit of faith. Isn't that good? Hey, you read about those guys in the Old Testament. Aren't you amazed by their faith? We read about it in the New Testament, don't we? We read their stories in the Old Testament. We read about the Bible expounds on those things, especially in Hebrews. It tells us about them and what they did and why they did it. They did it by faith. I mean, I read about the faith of those people, and I'm amazed by their faith. Abraham, Moses, Joshua, David. I mean, we could read about all the different ones and all the things that they did by faith. And listen, the same spirit of faith that worked in them is in you. And so they said, I believe, therefore I have spoken. So if we believe, we have to speak. Knowing, verse 14, that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Knowing that the one that raised up the Lord Jesus will raise up us also by Jesus. Anybody glad today that death has no hold on you? That the same one who brought Jesus from the grave is the same one who's going to bring you up again? I think about the hope we have in Christ, and my heart breaks for those who don't know the Lord. Any of you guys ever been to a funeral? See your hands if you've ever been to a funeral. You don't have to raise your hand, but have you ever been to a funeral of somebody who didn't know the Lord? You know, I've been blessed. Most of the funerals I've ever been a part of or been to were people who were Christians, people who had faith in Christ, but not all of them. So much so that you almost take it for granted the hope we have in Jesus. Because we have sorrow when we lose a loved one. But when we lose a loved one who knows the Lord, it's sorrow but not without hope. What is that hope? Well, the hope is the resurrection. That the one who raised up the Lord Jesus is going to raise up us also. See what he says? And shall present us with you. What's that mean? It means that when you put your faith in Jesus, the Spirit of God makes you alive and you have eternal life and you'll never come into condemnation, which means that when you die, he'll raise you up again. And not just you, but all who have believed. He said he's going to present us with you. What's that mean? The apostle and those with him speaking to those in the church at Corinth at that time, but not just that group of people, but all groups of believers of all time are going to be gathered together, raised up in Jesus, by Jesus, for the glory of Jesus. Well, all things are for your sakes, so that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. All things are for your sakes. What does that mean? It almost sounds like the apostle saying everything, it's all about you. It's all about you. It's not really about you, but everything that Christ did was for you. Everything that these missionaries endured was for them. And would to God we would have that same heart for others, to do all things for the sake of others. Why? Why? So that they could believe, so that they will be resurrected, so that the abundant grace of God might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound or superabound and rebound to the glory of God. What's the point? It's for you so that you can know him, so that he'll get glory upon glory now and forever. Amen. Are you thankful? Are you thankful that you have hope of the resurrection? I mean, are you really? I mean, like, down in here. Listen, I know you guys are good missionary Baptists, and you got to, like, keep it all in. Like, let's keep it locked down. Let's not get too charismatic and, like, be happy or anything. But could you please just let the joy of the Lord be in your heart today? If you believe you're not dead, you have eternal life. And not only is it okay to rejoice in that, but you are commanded to rejoice in that. Some of you are like, I'm a real happy preacher. I'm not going to let my face show it. I know we're all different. Lord, I know we're all different. I've told you before, Melissa and I did one of those marital counseling things, like personality profiles, supposed to help you understand your differences so that you can appreciate your differences. Because normally our differences, they just frustrate us, right? Thank you for the honest people nodding your head. But I have, like Melissa and I have been married almost 20 years, and I appreciate our differences now like I didn't used to appreciate them. But our personalities are exact opposites. So we're literally like night and day different. That's us. And I think the Lord knew we needed each other. I think he knew we needed a little balance. So here I am on this side of the scale, and there she is on that side of the scale. And we're pretty far apart, but we balance out. That's good. Y'all be happy for it. I know we're different. I know some of you are pretty emotional. And some of you don't know what emotion is. You're like, I almost shed a tear one time, but I told it to get back in there. I know. Some of you love different things. We're all very different people, and that's okay. And we're going to express our joy differently. But I'm just telling you that you can't hide the joy of the Lord. Right, listen, you may not shout hallelujah. You may not jump up and dance and sing. You may be very controlled, but there will be joy, and it will be evident. It must. You may be an introvert. You may not like to talk to other people, but if Christ has saved you, if he's changed you, it has to come out. It must. And it may look different for you than it does for me. Surely it will. And that's okay, but it has to be there somehow. And I just plead with you to look at what we're studying today in the Word of God. Listen, God has shed abundant grace on us. He has given us life when we deserve death. And we ought to have joy in our hearts today, and we ought to speak up because we believe. And we ought to all together, we ought to be part of that many who give thanksgiving that redounds to the glory of God. So don't faint. Verse 16, do not faint, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Our outward man is perishing. They literally were trying, people were trying to kill them on a regular basis. But here's the truth. We're all have an appointment with death. We are all perishing. We are in the process of dying. And that may not be too encouraging to you today because we're all on our way to the grave. But listen, we have life in Jesus. And this physical life isn't it. We've got to get an eternal perspective. And though our outward man perishes, though our outward man is falling apart, though our flesh fails, God doesn't fail, and he renews us in the inner man day by day. How does he do that? He does that through the Word of God and the Spirit of God, through prayer and study of the Word of God. That's how he does it. He does it through spiritual means. That means praying. That means reading the Word of God. That means meditating on the things of God. That's how you're renewed in the inner man. You need that every day. Desperately. You need that every day. So don't faint. Even though our outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. See, he draws a contrast here. He says that their affliction is light. Anybody here think that being scourged, beaten, shipwrecked, imprisoned, stoned, that any of that is light affliction? Anybody? Because if you think that's light affliction, I would say you're crazy. But Paul compares his affliction to the eternal weight of glory, and by comparison, it is light. Why? It's but for a moment. What is the eternal weight of glory? It's eternal. And where our affliction here is but for a moment, it's very light in comparison to the enormous weight of the glory of God, which he has given to all those who believe. O eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What do we say? We have to have an eternal perspective. Where does that come from? Well, it's verses like this one. We don't look on the temporal. We don't look on the physical. We don't look on the here and now. We look on the spiritual. We look on the invisible. We look on the things to come according to the promises of the Word of God. Get an eternal perspective. Why? Because you'll never be able to endure the affliction of this life. It's going to look too big. If you're looking at the trouble that this life brings, it's going to seem way too big unless you look past it to the eternal weight of glory. You guys see that? I know it's true. It's true in your life just like it is mine. How many of you start your day off really well? Like, I mean, you know, just one of those days you get up and the birds are singing and you get your cup of coffee and you read your Bible and you pray and, you know, it's just a good day. You got a song in your heart. And anybody ever have a day like that? Some of you are like, what are you talking about? Morning, good, that doesn't work. See, we're all different. But have any of you ever started your day great like that and then just one little thing goes wrong and you're off the rails? Anybody? Thank you. God bless you. Me too. What happened? Well, I had my eyes on the eternal, but I took them off the eternal and I focused on the temporal. I had my eyes on Jesus and I took my eyes off Jesus and I put them on me. I had my eyes on the blessings of God and the hope of the gospel, and I took my eyes off of that and I put them on my problems today. It takes nothing to derail us. Like the smallest thing can mess us up. So what do we got to do? We got to fight to stop focusing on those things and see the things that are not seen. See the things that are eternal every moment of every day. We got a lot of reason to rejoice today. We got a lot of reason to not faint, to not lose heart. So let's focus on those things this morning. Let's stand together. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. Don't